The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air, talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in your soul. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and Wynn Carpenter.
And we're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
We are broadcasting live from KCNR.
And everybody got an extra hour today. Sue, did you enjoy your extra hour?
I did.
Good.
I really did.
We like it when that we get to fall back in the fall.
Yeah, I was talking to Pete Peters yesterday, and we were talking about some things, and it was funny because Pete was talking about how he always gets to church an hour early, and there's nobody there. We are broadcasting live from KCNR, 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, where the music sounds better. If you have a question or comment, 530-605-4567, 605-4567.
Happy November 1st.
Yep. A couple more days, buddy, then the big election.
Big election.
And Wynn is going to have some information on that. He's going to be talking about the rally yesterday for Donald Trump and... Today.
Yes, sir.
Shoot away, brother.
Okay. Yesterday was awesome. We met with a bunch of patriots over at the convention center and got out in the parking lot there. Everybody got lined up and parked and had their flags and all kinds of good stuff going on. There was even one where there was a rig with Joe Biden who was strapped to the roof of the vehicle, and it looked like paint splattered all over it, like they had hit him in the road or something. It was pretty funny. Anyway, there were a lot of creative folks out there with their display of patriotism, if you will. And we cruised through town. It wasn't just like go around the block and stop. Oh, my gosh, we put on I don't know how many miles yesterday just going. It was truly a train. It was like being on a train, just cruising through the community. Drove all over East Side Reading and drove over West Side Reading and then landed back at the convention center where everybody kind of got back there and laughed and shook hands and everything else, and then we all went our separate ways. Okay, so today, Sunday, November 1st, at 3:30 p.m. at the Mount Shasta Mall is going to be another Trump parade, and it's going to be starting at 3:30. So get there, 2:30, 3 o'clock, everybody get there staged up and ready to go and just kind of walk around, see who you know and see what's going on. And then when the cruise starts, my understanding is it's going to be the Cool April Nights cruise route. So it's going to go down from Dana to Churn Creek, go south on Churn Creek, go west on Cypress, go north on Hilltop, and then go east on Dana. So that will be the Cool April Nights cruise route. So just kind of come and enjoy. And if you don't want to do the cruise itself, pull up a chair along the route trail someplace and just watch people go by.
And we're gathering signatures there, too, for the Gavin Newsom recall.
We are.
And
Sally will be doing that,
yep,
right?
Okay. Yep, Sally and Tyler.
Uh-huh. Okay, and we've got two little patriots out there doing their great job, so that'll be awesome.
And they're also going to be collecting signatures for the governor and government of California and sedition support statement that we need to go after these guys.
Yes, sir.
Also, if you want to get Trump gear or Jefferson gear, all the Trump gear, hats, flags, etc., is on sale for $10.99 at Ace Hardware on Eureka Way, Ace Hardware in Shasta Lake City on Cascade Boulevard, and Ace Hardware in Anderson off of Mark's Way. Hats and flags are $10.99 to get your Trump gear and get it at a great price, and you're able to wear that as you drive around and as we support the president. Apparently, he's got 2 days in what, 8 states he's going to be visiting in 2 days?
Something like that.
Yeah. So it's going to be amazing. But, this election might be the most important.
Well, it is.
In history, maybe.
It is. It is very important. And we need to make sure that we all go out and vote. Everybody go vote that's able to vote. Do your civic duty. It's your responsibility as an adult to do that. I mean, you're a sovereign citizen of this wonderful state and this beautiful country. It is your duty to do so.
Also, this last week, Carlos Zapata and myself were on InfoWars. We talked about what was going on here in Northern California, what was going on with the way the county has been doing things, what's been going on as far as the state of California. We think it was a pretty good interview. I know that the whole show, it was funny, we got up, went to bed on Thursday night, there was about 10,000 views on the show, we thought that was pretty good. When we got up the next morning, there was 134,000, and I got off the phone with Wynn after about 10 o'clock in the morning, and there was 142,000, I'm not sure how many there is now. But I do know they've taken that particular segment where Carlos and myself are talking about the state of Jefferson, about liberty, about the California government being in sedition, and all the different crazy stuff that's going on with this election and what's going on as far as a very interesting connection with California and China that was brought up by Alex Jones. Anyway, it's been a great program. It's great to get out there and get our views known and make sure that we're spreading the word of liberty and people are understanding what's going on with representation, et cetera.
Absolutely.
So along with that, I know that we'll be moving ahead, I would think, next week with really trying to push the Second Amendment. I think next program we want to have Mark Baird on. Hopefully he'll be able to call in next week after the election. I think there's a lot of us that believe that if hoping and praying that Donald Trump wins.
Yep.
And let's just be positive. When he wins. The left is going to push really hard to take your gun rights, folks.
They're
going to
push for everything.
And the gun rights is going to be the first thing. I mean, and what Newsom's done here in California, what for Christmas you have to let the government know who's going to be at your house or some kinds of all these crazy, crazy
That's
rules.
That's none of their damn business.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, just how far do we let them push us?
We don't.
You know, and it's just, it's crazy stuff. I mean, every time you turn around, there's something else goofy going on that they're doing, you know. And I know that there's, in Shasta County, you know, as we look at what's going on with the Board of Supervisors, and what's going on as far as them, making decisions on, what, keeping us in the red, does that mean that the totalitarian government of California gets some of its way anyway?
Yeah.
So whatever happened to the Constitution, you know? And I think that the interesting thing is we need to start pushing hard against this governor. I mean, it's just crazy what's going on. And to fix the state of California is going to be kind of tough. There's a lot of landmass there. There's too many different needs. And I think that the idea of smaller apportionment is the only way we're going to get this thing fixed, period.
Well, and splitting the state. It needs to be split in multiple ways. It's not just Jefferson splitting off of California as the northern portion of California. It needs to split in multiple ways. It's too diverse. Heck, when the state came to be, that was part of the discussion that they had before the state became a state. They were dragging their feet a little bit because they didn't know where to, you know, to draw the line, so to speak. But they were up against the deadline, so they just made the whole thing the state of California.
You know, and it was good because one of the questions that Alex Jones asked is, well, he had mentioned that, you know, the movement in 1941 and talked about that. And we were able to clear up a misnomer mm-hmm. on that being the same. It's not the same.
Nope.
In 1941, that movement was all about the fact that the people in Lower Oregon felt that they weren't getting their fair share of tax revenue back from Salem, and the people in Northern California felt that they weren't getting their fair share of tax revenue back from Sacramento.
And that was all for roads and improvements.
Yes, sir, for infrastructure, for yep. mining, farming, logging,
yep.
You know, and it was all that stuff. So it wasn't a matter of representation at the time, because we had approximately one senator per county mm-hmm. back in 1941.
Yep.
And, of course, as the story goes, and we all know, that in 1941 on December 6th, it went up before Congress, but then Pearl Harbor happened the next day.
Pearl Harbor happened, then everything was on hold.
Yes. And so we explained to Alex now that that basically it was what it is now is representation. You know, when you have a situation where you were capped in the state assembly at 80 people
mm-hmm.
in 1862.
Yep.
Had 40 senators in 1862, the population was 417,000 people, which is approximately about 10,000 per per senator.
And that was for the entire state.
Yes, that's the entire state.
Entire state population. Uh-huh.
And it was approximately 5,000, about 5,200 per assembly person. So when you look at that, we have taken that particular figure and we have increased from 417,000 to almost 40 million with what not one more assembly person and not one more senator added.
Right.
And on top of that, when you look at the perspective, we had courts back in those days in 1862. There was around 50 to 50 plus courts in the state, the whole state of California.
Right.
Now you fast forward, now we have 2,500. So the judicial branch has far exceeded what's happened with the representative branch, and guess who's supposed to have oversight of the representative branch, or the judicial branch, the representative branch. So the people who are watching the courts and making sure that the laws are done and all that stuff, that they're outnumbered 2,500 to 120. I mean, it's crazy.
Crazy, crazy. Okay, well, you've got to slip off to our first break. We will be back in just a moment.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Hello, I'm Rayola Pratt. I'm running so I can continue my work on the Shasta College Board of Trustees. Shasta College is a gem in our community. It touches and improves so many lives. Do you know that Shasta College has increased the number of degrees and certificates awarded to students by 26% over the past 4 years? Shasta College trains and graduates outstanding firefighters, nurses, dental hygienists, farmers, and many other vital members of our community. Do you know that Shasta College welding program is an American Welding Society accredited testing facility, one of only 100 in the world. At the same time, Shasta College prepares thousands of students for success in college and university. Do you know that Shasta College was selected to be one of the 15 community colleges to pilot a baccalaureate degree program for the state of California in 2015? I'm so proud of all that Shasta College does. Please vote for Rayola Pratt. Thank you.
Mark Mazzano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Mazzano.
Mark's proven organizational leader in law enforcement who led by example and got things done.
Go with Mazzano.
This is a new voice for Redding City Council who, unlike others, will work the job full-time.
Go with Mazzano.
My name is Mark Mazzano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark Mazzano, Council Member, City of Redding.
State of mine.
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 Not yours, but mine.
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 Mine. Mine.
Mine. Mine. Mine. Mine. Like broadcasting live from KCNR.
1460.
96.5. Where?
The music is
better. Sounds better.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, we've had some questions about the viability economically of the state of Jefferson. Well, this was brought up in a chat room about a week ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe a few days ago. Well, in around 2014, maybe early 2015, as Tim Draper was doing his first three-state initiative to divide California into three states, and I'm not so sure, I mean, to me, that kind of made sense. The challenge was he had us in there with San Francisco, and we don't want to be there in San Francisco. But anyway, this three-state initiative, what had happened is the state of Jefferson that he finally carved out that didn't have San Francisco in it was still shown by the Legislative Analysis Office to be about $11 million stronger and in the black than the state of New Mexico. So the state of Jefferson at that time with 11 counties that I think ended up, I think it was down, wasn't it wind down below Colusa right in there?
Yep.
Colusa, and it was shown to be, again, $10 million in the black, stronger than the economy of New Mexico. Now, since that time, there have been added Placer County and El Dorado County and Tuolumne County and some counties that are a little bit stronger and a little and not as dependent on state money, and also the economies here have gotten stronger. So the deal is that even at that time, Jefferson was viable economically. That's the Legislative Analysis Office, 2014. You can go look that up. And it was strong. Stronger, anyways. It would have been one of the weaker states. But the real deal is that it was a position to where, hey.
And that would be day one.
That was day one.
Day one as a new state.
Day one of the new state. In other words, once we became a state, boom, that's where we'd be. So we,
yes.
Of course, we'd be able to bring back mining and logging,
and
et cetera, et cetera.
And, two, all the tax dollars that are generated in the counties will remain in the counties. Only a very small fraction, very tiny portion would go to the state for state operation, whatever that might be. You think about it. California has 570-plus state agencies currently. Jefferson's looking to operate like, oh, say, New Mexico and a couple other states, you know, with maybe 40 to 50 state agencies at most. So, you know, where's all that money going that, you know, California currently has with all these state agencies? All they're doing is just ruling the roost. They're just trying to make us slaves and serfs again. So in Jefferson, that's not going to be tolerated, and that won't be. We just won't let that happen. I mean, the people won't let that happen. When I say we, I mean all of us collectively. So people aren't going to let that happen. We've learned the hard way by being in Jefferson or in California. Going to Jefferson would be a wonderful thing to do. So you're right, Terry.
Well, you know, the thing is that when you look at it, and you look at what's happening now, there's the county gets back, the counties get back the money. There's mandatory spending, and there's discretionary spending. Mandatory spending is what the state says you have to spend this money on. Discretionary spending is things like health and safety, well, police, fire, infrastructure, those kinds of things. Well, for the 27 counties of Jefferson, it's approximately, 23 counties. Getting ahead of myself.
Okay, Obama.
20, yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah, really. How many states are there?
Oh, 58. 57,
I know.
59. I don't know.
I know. Anyway, so the deal is that as we look at that, we want to have, instead of 87% of the state money being allocated and controlled with the jurisdiction of the state, we want to have 87% of that money with the jurisdiction of the county or more,
mm-hmm.
with 13% going to the state to operate the state. So that's one of the things that we want to do in Jefferson. But we do have a caller on the line, Richard.
Good morning,
how are you?
Richard. How are you doing, buddy?
Good morning, folks. How's my volume?
You're good.
Good. Very good, sir.
I guess I just have two quick comments. Can we all just please remind ourselves that through these very trying times, we are all going to have disagreements, and let's please keep our eyes on the ball.
Yep.
Let's not let our enemies divide us culturally, politically, in any manner. We need to stay united. We can have disagreements, but please, everybody, please, let's just remember that. Let's keep our eye on the ball. We're all here for the same reason.
Yep.
I called in the other day when Mark Mazzano was on with the Monday through Friday morning host there. One of his first statements was, yeah, well, you know, I want to talk about, you know, financial stability, financial accountability for the city, right? So 50 minutes into the show, neither of them mentioned pensions. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I called in, of course, you know, 10 minutes before the hour. I said, hello, elephant in the room. You guys are not talking about the pension problems. And then I said, Mr. Mazzano, I would like your word right now that if you get seated, you will hold a public open forum to discuss pension reform. And he would not do that. Instead, he just said, well, you know, having 20 or so people in a room together might be a good idea, great question, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, wow, I kind of think I know where this guy is going with that. So thanks, guys. Any questions of me before I go?
Yes, absolutely. I want to know, can you update people? As we all know, Richard Gallardo did a citizen's arrest on the Board of Supervisors. And so can you give us any updates on that? Go ahead, buddy. It's all yours.
Yeah, the only update is this week the report should be ready for me to go in and get a copy of.
Okay.
So that'll be the next step. And then I will very adamantly demand the name of the deputy district attorney who is going to be assigned the case. And then I'm going to be like five thorns in that person's side for quite a while. And I will also be requesting a renewed call to action, emails, phone calls, letters to that individual deputy DA so that we can get this thing rolling.
Well, for people who may not know, can you give a few of the charges that you arrested the Board of Supervisors on? And were they all Brown Act violations or were there other violations also?
Other violations also. The main one which has the most teeth is the closed session Brown Act violation. Holding closed session meetings under the guise of public threat to services and public facilities about a cold virus. So that's the main one that has the most teeth, especially if they took any action. And remember, action doesn't mean a vote. And action just means deliberations and et cetera, et cetera. So, and then the other charges are failure to review the state of emergency, both under Walt Health and Safety Code and government code. And then, of course, when you get more than one person committing a crime, you got to throw conspiracy in there. So, lots and lots of charges.
Well, the other question I have for you, because there's maybe people listening, I'm sure there is, that haven't heard any of this. The other question I have is that you were saying that the sheriff and the district attorney have to recuse themselves. Can you let the folks know why that is?
They have officially not recused themselves.
Oh.
I have demanded their recusal.
Got it. Okay.
In writing and verbally, I did it right to the sheriff's face. Said, you're recused, sheriff, because you attended some of these Brown Act meetings or these closed session meetings that I allege are in violation of the Brown Act. So you are recused. I did that personally and in writing. Same with the district attorney. And, of course, I am waiting for written confirmation that the district attorney has recused herself. I will be demanding that very shortly.
So in your opinion, do you think this this Board of Supervisors are a group of people that have been doing the right thing for the people of Shasta County?
They should never talk about a cold virus behind closed doors, because then they decide what information they want to release to us instead of we, the people, who are quite smarter than them, excuse me, but we are much smarter than they are, and we can make our own decisions on what we want to do regarding a cold virus.
Okay, the other question I've got for you is that in doing this, and could it be that they could claim, that they are just working off the information that they're getting from Karen Ranstrom and Donnell Liebert?
There's a lot of things they can claim, and I'm not going to obviously talk about certain strategies on the air. I'm going to save those for court.
Right.
I'm saving those for court, right? No, they have a lot of excuses, you know, that they can put forth, but very few of them are going to hold any true water. So this arrest not only is going to test the board's ethics and morals once it comes to court, it's also going to test the sheriff's department's ethics and morals on their report writing.
Mm.
It's also going to test the district attorney. It's going to test the deputy DA, their ethics and morals. And then if it gets to court, it's going to test the judges, because they'll pick a judge trial. I could just about guarantee it.
Mm.
Then it's going to test the judges' ethics and morals. This is going to test a lot, many different levels of our legal and judicial system.
Well, Richard, thank you for being the patriot you are, my friend.
Well, and before you go, you did hear that there's another county that just did the same
thing. Nevada County.
Nevada County, right?
Yep.
You're in the loop
That's up. If you want me to discuss that today, I can wait after the break. Otherwise,
yeah, that'd be great.
That another time.
Okay. Yes.
Yep.
No, you can do it today. Just hang on with us, brother.
All right.
Because we're
going to
go after our break. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Riding on Obama's coattails. anticipating his next spell. One more bump on the campaign trail. Another gasp, another laugh. Oh no. You had your fun, a real good run, I know. Oh, Joe. Joe, 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 it's time to go.
And he ran a bunch of bad boys. I got hairy legs, and I love kids jumping on my lap.
Poor kids are as bright as white kids, but they can't take the same buses. Why can't unwanted massages ever be a debate topic?
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 smart bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And now, during our Veterans Day sale, save $1,000 on the Queen Sleep Number 360 Special Edition Smart Bed, now $1,799. Only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Hi, Rob Burrows here from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We'd like to thank all who participated in the Iron Soldier Riot October 4th. It was a great turnout, and you helped us raise funds necessary to feed veterans at the holidays and pay for shipping of packages for our troops. Special thanks to Steve McCarley and everyone at Redding Yamaha Sea-Doo, plus all the generous sponsors. At this time, we'd like to remind you to consider donating any leftover Halloween candy we can send to our troops during our Christmas packaging event. If you would like to donate leftover candy for packages for the troops or non-perishable food items for our holiday meals for veterans and families of those deployed, please call the Northern California Veterans Museum at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And again, thanks for your generous support. That number again, 378-2280.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is.
We have pioneered the fatality rate.
He's a self-made man. He did it on his own. With a little help from dad and $1 million loan. He don't need big hands to command the troops. One day they are fired after he employs the nukes.
We are back.
Hey, quickly, we have a group down Tama County that is putting together a win a half a beef raffle, and we're selling tickets. Only 200 tickets are being sold, and I have some tickets that you can contact me, Frank Rose, who is here at the station pretty much all the time. He's got tickets, and then Dick Wilkinson has tickets. So if anybody wants to buy those tickets, they're $20 a piece. Only 200 tickets will be sold, and the drawing will be held November 14th. And you do not need to be present to win. So I just want to let everybody know that. So get a hold of Frank Rose, Dick Wilkinson, or myself, and we will help you get the tickets purchased. Thank you.
Yeah. And anyway, Richard, we have Patrick Jones on the other line, so if you could update us on Nevada, cut it quickly, we'd like to get him on. Richard, are you there?
Richard's
gone.
Oh, Richard.
Okay, Patrick, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, Patrick.
Hey, very good. Good morning.
So what say you?
Well, there was a program on just slightly before yours that were, and the host was talking about this $60 million possible slush fund, and he had called the county auditor, if I'm not mistaken, and the answer that he got as to the possibility of this fund was maybe in a PARS, or maybe that it was just going to be a general fund expenditure coming up. And I can tell you without a fact, that is not how you manage your budget. If you have a multi-million dollar contract, which which is what happened. They gave the Sheriff's Department a large raise. You have to figure that into the budget going out many, many years. Otherwise, you're just simply going to have to cut labor immediately. And so you don't manage your budget in that way. And so clearly that answer, if that was the answer that was given, was clearly a snow job, to be honest. It's not how you would manage a budget. The fact of the matter is the Shasta County Board of Supervisors back in March said they needed a 1% sales tax for sheriffs and public safety. They had no money for raises, and then all of a sudden, in a very poor economy, you know, 7-8 months later, they give a multi-million dollar raise. So somewhere along the line, they're not being honest, and somewhere along the line, they had money to do this. So either they've had money all along, and they just simply didn't tell us about it, and or they lied to us about needing the 1% sales tax. Now, normally, when you give a large 27-28% raise to the Sheriff's Department, that would be front page news in the local paper, but there was nothing in the paper, not a peep from this entire board. They did not want to let the public know that they gave this kind of money out, and so there are certainly secrets there. And you know, if we're truly going to have a watchdog, you really got to start reading the budget. You know, it's 640 pages and you've got to start reading it to find out. You can't just ask the auditor, hey, where's this money? If you think you're going to get a straight answer, that's not going to happen.
Well, the thing is, did you say it was 640 pages?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, you had mentioned that, could it be taken out of PERS or for? He was saying something about it being for PERS or
PARS.
PARS?
What was PARS?
If that's the answer he gave, that's a total snow job. There are other accounts and other pots of money. He just simply showed an account, and I don't know if they have that amount in a PARS account or not. And so that's not how you get to the bottom of a problem. You have to do the research yourself. The problem that we have is the bureaucrats at the county, and they're simply not telling you the truth, and they're not going to tell you the truth now. We have to go find it. That's what a real watchdog does. You go find the truth. And so far, the truth has not come out. The board is not speaking of this raise, not a single one of them. They should take pride in what they do, and they should let the public know what they have done. And they did not. They gave a large raise, and the public was mostly uninformed. And, you know, people around town are talking about it. This information did not come from me. This information came from many people. It's being talked about from the highest to the lowest areas around city and county government. And so this is not new news. It's been out there for weeks, and that you gave a multi-million dollar raise, your budget doesn't really show that you have the money to do it long term. Where'd you get the money? That's the bottom line. Where'd you get the money?
Yeah, I think you're right. And the thing is that, I've known you for a long time, and I think that, I've never had a question at all about your integrity or a question of whether or not you're someone who doesn't have the people in the forefront of your mind. I mean, when you were with the city council, you didn't even take the retirement. I mean, and that's the first thing most people grab. There was so many things that you did, and the time, the endless hours you worked, and what was your pay, like $700 a month or something like that?
$500, who's keeping track?
Yeah, who's keeping track?
No, well, I didn't take the CalPERS because it's a crooked system, and the taxpayers are on the hook. And as we know, both with the city and the county, now the taxpayers are having to cover over $20 million, plus, in the city of Reading and in the county, and that's coming right out of the general fund. And that is a huge hit to any general fund, especially these small governments, and it's affecting the quality of the services, and it's affecting the quality of our lives here in Shasta County. These guys now, several of these board members, have been in office now for over a decade, and they have not addressed this problem. They have simply turned a blind eye to it, and now it's starting to affect the livability of our county. It has to be dealt with. And it has to be dealt with now. And these guys, unfortunately, the entire board is refusing to deal with the number one problem that we have to manage your budget. They're not being honest with the public. And it's time for a change. And I think that's what we're seeing. I'm going to win this election. I feel very good. We've ran a great campaign. We've stayed focused on the issues. And I'm going to win on Tuesday. And I think that's going to start a chain reaction of things to come.
Well, I know in the city there was also talk about how money was taken from REU, and I had a private conversation that's okay if I bring it public because it was with Adam McElvain, and just meaning that he and I were talking, and he sent me an email, which I have, and he had stated that he had saved by paying up front. I think they saved $400,000+, which helped them fund a couple of policemen.
Yeah.
I think that's what the deal was. I don't have it in front of me, so I apologize for that. But anyway, then when he emailed me back, because he said it was interest-free, he said, well, you know, it wasn't interest-free, and it ends up being $280,000, which, you know, okay, one way or another. But apparently it's something they've been doing for years, and I guess they just borrowed this money up front, according to them, from REU, and then they pay it back. In fact, he did say that the current amount being borrowed would be paid back in June of 2021. So give us the scoop on that.
Well, I never did that when I was on council. You know, when you have the REU, it's a freestanding enterprise fund, and it mm-hmm. needs to be left alone. Mm-hmm. And the habits that this current council is doing is that they're borrowing from it. The soccer fields needed fixing. That was another bogus deal that previous councils supported. And so they took money out of REU to pay for that. Past Strati property, spite strips, they've taken money out of REU for that. When I was on council, we repaid that back. So they've been using REU as a cash cow for a long time, but it shows the instability within their own budgets that they have to do that because they can't manage a budget. Their CalPERS costs and their general fund costs are hemorrhaging right now. We're down on police officers, and we're down on all kinds of other staffing, you know, and it's because they're not managing their budgets, and they're now borrowing from other freestanding enterprise funds. And it's a wrong practice. We hope that they repay that money as they're supposed to. But that's a problem. You have to trust these guys to do it. And I'm not sure that the trust is there. We've seen in the past where monies were taken out of REU and not returned. You know, with REU, your late fees, for example, that doesn't stay with the utility. That goes over into the general fund. Mm. And then they have a payment in lieu of property tax, which is bogus, and that goes over into the general fund. So they're clearly using it as a cash cow. And, you know, when I was on council, we created a Reading Electric Utility Commission to try to oversee this and to try to help stop these problems. Only to be off council did they immediately get rid of this commission. We've got serious problems within local government, not only with the city, but the county as well. And, you know, for us being pushed out of the county board of supervisors meetings, having to stand out front,
and
only a few people let in, it's just another thing that's compounding the problem of not having a transparent and open government. There should be no secrets within this government. And I don't think they can say that.
Well, I think you made a good point, too. I know that standing out there in the smoke and in 100 degrees, there was a lot of moms in fact, a couple of moms with young babies. Carlos Zapata's sister actually spoke at the Board of Supervisors holding her baby. And, you know, I mean, it was just people waiting outside, not being allowed in, when our employees, which are the Boards of Supervisors, are sitting in there in an air-conditioned room, comfortable seats. Not having you stand in the smoke, not having you stand in the heat, just unbelievable stuff. And, you know, you kind of scratch your head a little bit about things that go on and things that are done. But I would like to know in that budget if there is some other money somewhere. I mean, if there is, or if there isn't, then, again, that explanation of how the sheriffs did get that raise. Patrick, we're going to have to go off to a break. Can you stay with us, brother?
Well, actually, I've got to get scooting. We're getting into, obviously, a busy time with the campaign.
Sure,
but
sure.
I will catch up at a later date. I appreciate you guys letting me be on. You guys are doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, brother. Have a great day.
Thanks, Patrick.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Amen.
Big John, Big John, every
Every morning at the office you can see him arrive. He stands 6'2" and weighs 195. Now some don't like him, some think he's hip, but all agree he gives a lot of lip. Big Don.
Big Don. Big Don.
Big Bad Don. The Donald.
Big Don.
Now, it's no secret where the money came from. He appeared on the scene with a mighty sum. He doesn't smoke, never had a drink. But about that hair, his barber stinks, Big Don. Now, the road to the White House is muddy and rough. If you want to win, you got to talk tough. Lay your cards on the...
Go with Masano.
Mark Masano is a 28-year veteran of the California Highway Patrol who retired with honors.
Go with Masano.
Mark's a proven organizational leader in law enforcement who led by example and got things done.
Go with Masano.
This is a new voice for Redding City Council who, unlike others, will work the job full-time.
Go with Masano.
My name is Mark Masano, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Mark B. Masano, council member, City of Redding.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Say that on the air. I love you, Sue. Well, we're back. And anyway, yeah, interesting morning.
Lots going on.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, anyway, I think that these rallies for Trump at this point are still really important. I think a lot of people are waiting for the last minute. And I think... Frankly, I think that the vote in California may be closer than it ever was, at least in recent years, with the Republican candidate being our president. And I think it's really going to be a lot stronger there. And folks, if you're going to that drive-around rally, you want to talk about that one more time, my brother?
Sure. It's going to be starting at 3:30 p.m. today, November 1st, at the Mount Shasta Mall here in Redding. And they're going to follow the... My understanding, anyway, is going. They're going to follow the Cool April Nights cruise route, which is Dana Drive to south on Churn Creek to west on Cypress to north on Hilltop to east on Dana. And so that's what's been explained to us by some of the people that are in the know on that. So that's what we know.
Yeah, and if you need any Trump flags to fly on your car or a Trump hat to wear, you can buy that at Ace Hardware on Eureka Way. You can buy that at Ace Hardware on Cascade Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And you can also buy that on Mark's Way over there in Anderson at Ace Hardware. And the Trump hats are only $10.99. And the flags are only $10.99. And it's a good way to show your support. A lot of people think that there's going to be a little bit of angst around election night. Keep your gates locked and your powder dry, I guess, huh?
Not in my neighborhood.
But yeah, I think there's going to be some interesting days following. Was it the 17th of November or something like that that California was saying they were going to count votes up to? Was that?
I heard something to that effect, but I don't know if that's.
Maybe if somebody knows that, you can call in 605-4567, 605-4567, or put it on the chat room and let us know.
I would hope not. I would hope, November 3rd is it. That's it, one and done.
Well, you'd hope that, and that's something I think that we have to start understanding here in California, too, is that when you have a government that's rogue and really is rogue, a nation state, an alliance basically with China, billions of dollars. And, it's funny because you think of I remember giving my kids when we were going someplace $5, which became the new dollar. So $5 was the new dollar. Now, the new $5 is $20.
Mm-hmm.
The new $1,000 is $1 million. The new $1 million is $1 billion. And now the new $1 billion is $1 trillion. And when you look at what's happened here and how crazy that all is, I mean, we're talking about trillions. Oh, yeah, we got 12 trillion here. We're going to, wow. What? That's a gob.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's a gob.
A gob of money.
So anyway, we have to get things back in line. We've got to get finances back in line in our counties, and I think Patrick is probably the best one to do that, as far as understanding economically where we need to be. You would hope that, and there's other people out there too. There's a lot of people who could run for office that should, a lot of them that could go out there and really give the folks what they need. That's a statesman. And there's a lot of interesting things that will be coming up in this program over the next few months, especially some things we're putting in the Constitution of Jefferson that I think everybody's going to like. And we might just have Janet Chandler on, which we will.
That would be great.
And we will go ahead and we'll talk about the Constitution of Jefferson. I think that'd be really cool. And we'll announce that, have that being done in a couple of weeks once we get through a lot of the Second Amendment stuff.
When you're talking about local government and so forth, it'd be nice to have, it's going to be nice having Patrick in there. He is a watchdog. He's not afraid to do what needs to be done to be above board. Oh. That's why you're finding resistance from the current board and people that are connected to him in support of his opposition.
I wonder if some of those people that we know are connected to the board. Anyway, so yeah, exactly. We have two people on the line. We have, was Richard first? We have Richard and Chris. So Richard, what say you?
Good morning, Richard.
Hi there again.
Hey, buddy.
On the election thing, yes, that was an urgency statute passed a couple months ago. They can count votes 17 days after election day.
Oh, brother, that's the 20th. Now, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Hey, on the arrest thing, so first, Butte County has reached out to me.
Okay. I talked to her.
Questions back and forth.
Yep.
Questions back and forth on the arrest, and I said, hey, let's stop doing this on email. Get your group together. Let's do a conference call. So that is pending. They are very interested in arresting their folks down there. On the Nevada County one, I've had lengthy conversations with a gentleman named Joe. He's the one that did it. He's the one in the video. I'm bringing him along very nicely so that we minimize any speed bumps in the process. The interesting thing is on his arrest, he also arrested the chief executive officer for keeping the public out of the open sessions because
you're talking about the CEO of the county, yes?
Yes, okay. And I guess that CEO was the one physically walking around, locking the doors to keep the public out of the open session. And I'm like, wow, Joe, that's pretty creative. I like it. So we'll see what happens with that. But we're working along nicely, having very lengthy conversations and conference calls with those folks down in Nevada County.
That's awesome.
That sounds good, brother. And maybe in the next couple of weeks, or maybe even as soon as next week, we'll get you on. But I'll give you a call, and maybe we can get something to where we can keep updating us on all this. And thanks for all the hard work you do, brother. Appreciate you.
Amen. All right, bye-bye.
Amen.
You bet.
Thanks, Rich.
Chris, what say you, sir? Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
What say you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. Unfortunately, Patrick's still not on the line with you. But I was thinking about that $12 million loan the IRU did to the city.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're running a business, you've got to carry that on your ledger as a liability
mm-hmm.
until it's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this transfer over on the ledger to what they're going to charge us in rates to cover this liability in case the city does not pay it back?
Beats me.
Good question.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, that's what we have a chat room, and that's a really good question. You know,
you can't run a business without a positive and negative ledger.
Well, I know that Patrick was pretty adamant about the fact the first time that he was on our show about that the city council wasn't really paying that back or hadn't paid it back, and I'm not sure where that all went to. And then one thing led to another. And
the other question I have is, is where is the payback date with regards to when rates are negotiated or determined?
You know, and again, I think it's one of those things where you have to see the record itself. I agree with Patrick. I don't think you can just call the city or call this guy or that guy, because a lot of the employees, again, the information that they're getting could be correct, could be accurate. Then again, it could just be, here's what you tell them. You know, you don't know what the employees are going to, you know, here's what you tell them. Well, I have a question on this. Well, this is what you tell them. And that comes from higher up, maybe the city manager, et cetera. And, of course, that is speculation. But those are great questions. I mean, you know, you'd have to have that in there. I mean, I know that the email I got from Adam McElvain did say that this approximately $12 million that was being borrowed from the city of Reading was going to be paid back by, I believe, June 2021, which he said was the fiscal year, which the fiscal year ends. So that's what I got in the email. I mean, I don't know whether that, I guess maybe that answers it, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, their books are so convoluted and they walk you in circles.
Well, you got to be careful. You got to back up a fact, you know.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You got to back it up. You can't have an opinion. Only one person can have an opinion on the program, I guess.
There you go.
Yeah. Anyway, so, oh boy, I'm telling you. Gift that keeps on giving. Anyway, Chris, do you have anything else, brother?
Oh, no. I'm sure you'll stir my mind with the next topic you talk about.
Okay, sounds good. Well, you can stay tuned for Sovereign Minds.
I will. I always do.
They're good. And then Matt Nemo has a good program. What's the name of Matt's program again, Sue? Do you remember the exact name of it?
Which one?
Matt Nemo. Oh,
Matt Nemo?
Yeah, he's the young man who does the
show before us?
Yeah.
I can't get past the music. I'm sorry.
Oh, I've only done the government watchdog show.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but I can't get past the music he plays.
You know, I think Matt Nemo does a great job. I really enjoy listening to him. I think that maybe he is hitting he's hitting a younger crowd. He's hitting a different audience than maybe a lot of...
Yeah, but they're not up at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. But anyway, he comes up with some good stuff.
He does personally. He does.
He does. He really does. I really
No, I have no complaints about him himself. He's got to do something about the music. As far as I'm concerned.
There we go. Well, not everything to everybody.
I know, it's true.
We've been using Bad Mood Rising a lot, you know.
Exactly. All right, thank you.
All right, brother. Chris. Have a great day. Well, yeah, so as we wind down with another eventful morning. Oh, boy. But we do have Sovereign Minds coming up. I'm going to be anxious to hear what they have to say. I'm hoping that they give us a take on what they think is going to happen during this election time. I know that there's a lot of people. There was a call-in to, I think it was...
it's going to be all the Patriots
program. There was a call-in to that. And a lady was talking about make sure that you've got your head on a swivel. Between November 2nd and probably at least the weekend, a lot of people are talking about there'll be riots and all that stuff, no matter which side wins. I don't know that the right would riot as much as they'd just get prepared and just start not complying with the illegal, totalitarian, communistic, horrible things that the state of California would try to do to them. The liberal government, if it happens that way. But we're all hoping and praying.
And our tolerance level will be maxed out at that point. People will not stand for it any longer. And it doesn't matter age group, and it's going to filter over to all beliefs.
I hear music.
Me too.
I hear music. Time has come.
For 51.
We need to get it done.
Amen.
ACA. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.